Pastor Ray Bentley has eye-opening insight on God's feelings toward you and His plan for your life.
God has known about you for millions of years. He's been thinking about you and His role that He would give to you for millions and millions of years. And He was so excited when you finally were born and came on the scene, because in the kingdom of God, all of His children are precious and special to Him.
Spread the news. All of His people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. Where you are in life has not escaped God's notice. In fact, He may have you right where He wants you to be able to serve Him like no one else can. And today, Pastor Ray points out an Old Testament story of one man who rebelled at the job God gave him to do with unfortunate results. Let's listen.
Let's open our Bibles to the book of Numbers, chapter 16. An amazing story. This guy named Korah, leads a rebellion against Moses and Aaron, which really turns out bad for him. And we hopefully want to learn from Korah's rebellion, you know, mistakes, that we do not want to go down that road. Okay, so Korah, the guy's name is Korah. Everybody say Korah. Called Korah's rebellion. There really is a divine order in everything God does. God loves, obviously, just look at planet Earth and the nature, mankind, the animal kingdom, the flowers, the rivers and streams, the animals and creatures, and let alone the vast universe. God loves, is very creative, and He loves diversity. But there is, within the spiritual world, there is divine order. There, even in nature, there is divine order. Laws, you might call them. Principles, we call it the law of gravity. And the coming into an understanding of that. So there is an order that comes into everything God does. What we discover is the nation Israel, I just want to make this point, got into trouble every time they resisted Moses and Aaron's leadership. On another level, we get into trouble every time we rebel against God's divine order or His leadership. We find that God, in this chapter, is like a parent, like a gracious, loving father. And we could say that after 400 years of slavery, they were saved or delivered or born again as a nation one night, Passover night. And we can make the parallel that we used to be slaves to the flesh and the world and the devil and to sin. And then when we heard the gospel, we can be saved like that. Well, you might think then, okay, now that I'm saved, I'm a child of God, God has an inheritance for me. So day two, let's just step into our inheritance. But God does not do that. They were not ready for their inheritance because they did not really understand and know who they were. Though they were saved, though they were delivered, though they were born again as a nation, they still had a mentality from the past of 400 years of slavery. God needed to break the past, and therefore, in between the past of slavery and the future of their inheritance was a designed time called the wilderness. And the purpose of the wilderness was to educate them in their identity and cause them to mature and grow up so that they can handle the authority of being the sons and daughters of God. Then when they inherit the land, they have character that they can actually hang on to it and not lose it. Does that make sense? So also for us, we're saved and born again. You can be saved immediately. But then we don't immediately go into heaven and start enjoying all of the riches of heaven. There's an intermediary time of wilderness called a short span, 70, 80, 90 years, 100 if you're very lucky, that we are to grow up. We are to learn who we are in Christ Jesus. So that's what's happening here with Israel. And Korah was a respectable leader who lost his ministry, which is a warning for us. He made the greatest mistake of his life, and he lost everything. So we want to learn from that. Beginning in verse 1, let's read Numbers 16, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, 'You take too much upon yourselves, for all the congregation is holy. You're not the only ones that are holy. We're holy too, every one of them, and the Lord is among them, just as he is with you.'" All true. But then they added, "Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?" Not true. They didn't exalt themselves, nor did they appoint themselves. Who appointed Moses and Aaron? God did. But here was the accusation, okay? So what's important is that Korah was a Levite, and he certainly must have been a respectable and distinguished leader to be able to share his accusation against Moses and Aaron and to convince 250 leaders within Israel, men of renown, men who had character, men who had reputation, men who had wisdom. And he said, "We got to make a challenge. Things need to change from other tribes." And he literally began a national conspiracy. And the fact that in verse 1, it gives his genealogy. Now, Korah was the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, Dathan, Abiram, sons of Eliab, and on and so forth, means it reflects his status as an important man. It was like, you guys know who Korah was. Everybody knew who Korah was. He had status. And yet he made the greatest mistake of his life. So the warning to us is kind of sobering. Even though you may have, or we may have, name and reputation, we have to be careful and we want to be cautious that we don't follow his pattern or make the same mistake. Now, one of the issues that Korah had with Moses was the apparent nepotism of Moses. Because Moses has his brother, Aaron, is the high priest. So Korah takes issue with that. He cries, "Nepotism, it's a family thing. Who appointed these guys? We're just as holy. We're a kingdom of priests." And he really wanted the same privileges as Aaron. "I want to be a priest. I want to go into the glory cloud of God. I want to see all and do all that cool stuff." So what's interesting is Korah questioned Moses' authority to lead Israel and challenges his claims that he is the leader, that he is the king. He rejects Moses as the leader or king of Israel. Secondly, he rejects that he hears from God, which is the office of a prophet. And thirdly, he rejects the priesthood of his brother Aaron. Well, we could be priests too. Now think about this. You have a man who starts a rebellion that gains status with 250 men of renown and reputation that have influence over thousands of lives and families, and convinces them that Moses and Aaron are not the king and not the priest and are not the prophet for us. So I want to share with you this, another kind of a life lesson. Wherever there is complaining and rebelling among God's people, there's always a given reason, a stated reason, a public reason, and a hidden reason. Okay? In public, Korah states that Moses and Aaron are running everything and that they are not giving the people a chance for input. Basically, what he's saying is, "I want a little more democracy in this whole Israelite nation of the people of God and in the decisions. After all, God has said we are a kingdom of priests," which was true. "And so why should these two be elevated above everybody else? They're self-appointed." Not true. Moses did not nominate himself, and nor did Aaron volunteer. God called them and used them. God is the one who established the divine order. But Korah did not like that. So in public, when Korah said, "Who made these two the boss of the applesauce? Why can't we run a little bit or weigh in, or they need to listen to us?" And so appeal, yeah. You got 250 respectable men to join with them. But there was, so that's on the public level. But there was a hidden reason that Korah wasn't satisfied with assisting the priests. He wanted to be a priest and do what priests do. He wasn't, in other words, satisfied with his role or assignment that had been given to him by God. He wanted someone else's role as well. Now, let's stop for just a second. What was Korah's role? What was he supposed to do with his family? What was their job? What was their divine assignment? You want to know what it is? It was this. They were called to, when the God's cloud lifted and was ready to move forward toward the promised land, they were given the divine assignment of taking the tabernacle tent down, putting it, folding it up, and then literally carrying it upon their shoulders to the next place that God's glorious cloud would lead them. And so that was not enough for them. I want to say this. The greatest role, what is the greatest role for your life? Every role that, and all of us have a God-given role. We have a God-given, we might say, heavenly assignment. Did you know that? And I want to also say this. Somebody shared that I heard this, and I thought it just was mind-blowing to me. God has known about you for millions of years. He knew when you would be born. He knew when you would live. And he gave, before you were born, and before you even grew up, he's been thinking about you and what his role that he would give to you for millions and millions of years. And he was so excited when you finally were born and came on the scene because of all the cool stuff he had to show you and to use you and to reveal to you. Because in the kingdom of God, all of his children are precious and special to him. Now, one of our problems is we think, well, some roles are better than other roles, and we compare and we contrast, and then that can really bring out jealousies. I want to say this. The greatest role for your life is the one that God has chosen for you. The assignment God has given you. Now, by the way, I want to also say this. I think that, how long are we going to be God's children, sons and daughters? Forever. So the role that we may have here on earth is not necessarily the role we're going to have forever. God has more roles for us, more revelations for us, more plans. I mean, we're going to be with him forever. But it's important that for right now, you value the role he's given to you and that you be faithful in the role he has given to you so that when he's ready to give you another role, you are mature and you can handle it. What Korah was revealing by his jealousy and his envy against Moses is that he wasn't mature enough to handle another role. He needed to be faithful in the role that God had given to him at the time. Beneath all of this, hey, who made Moses, the boss? Who appointed him? We didn't vote. Was a secret, selfish desire for greatness. And by the way, that's a common theme in the Bible. All of us as human beings, we want to stand out and we want to be great. We want to be significant. We want to be important. And gloriously, we are. But sometimes we judge by the role that maybe we have been given. And so it's a common theme in the Bible, whether it's Korah here, whether later it's Absalom who said, I want to be the king instead of my dad, David. Diotrephes is this little sentence in the New Testament, writing a letter in the New Testament. And then it says, and then don't forget Diotrephes, who loves the preeminence. That's the only thing that we know, is that we have a Christian brother named Diotrephes who was part of the church 2,000 years ago, and the only thing we know about him is everywhere he went, he wanted to be the center of attention. How many of you want to have your name put in the Bible and that's all they say? Forever. So, but even, you know, so, okay, see this guy, but we're all guilty. I see all of us in this because the disciples who were with Jesus for 3.5 years, who were personally taught and tutored and mentored by the Messiah himself, are following him, arguing about who will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So the reality is, we all have to take this warning. God, have mercy upon me. Don't let me make the mistake of Korah. Acknowledging I am full of pride and jealousy and envy. Help us, Lord, so that we don't follow that. So I want to go to the next one here. The goal of parenting, and the reason I mention this is because I believe that what's happening in this story is that God is parenting Israel like a good father. And so the goal of parenting is maturity. God wanted Korah to grow up and to love what he did and to honor and value the assignment he had been given to carry the tabernacle and the tent that contained the glory of the Lord. He wanted Moses to mature. He wanted all the leaders to grow and to mature. So after the Exodus, God is acting as a parent or as a good father. So follow with me as I read verses 4 through 11. It says in verse 4, so when Moses heard it, you know, they made the challenge. Moses heard it, he fell on his face. And he spoke to Korah and all his company, saying, tomorrow morning, the Lord will show who is his and who is holy. Well, like, basically, he's appealing to dad. You know, brothers, they fight and they argue, and finally, okay, let's go ask dad. Okay, let's go ask dad. So they're going to dad. And will cause him to come near to him, the one whom he chooses. So we're going to walk into the cloud, Korah, you and me, and all your guys. We'll let dad choose. He will cause him to come near him. Do this. Take censers, Korah, and all your company. Put fire in them. Put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. That's what he wanted, right? I want to be a priest. I want to go into the cloud with incense. He goes, okay, you can do it. Let's do it. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord chooses is the Holy One. You take too much upon yourselves, you sons of Levi. Korah said, you take too much upon yourself. Moses says, no, you take too much upon yourself. You want to go into the presence of God unasked for, and you have no idea what you've just done. So verse 8, then Moses said to Korah, hear now, you sons of Levi, is it a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to serve him? And that he has brought you near to himself and all your brethren, the sons of Levi with you? You're as close to God as you can get, the tent through which the Shekinah glory burns and shines. And are you seeking the priesthood also? You need more? You want more? It's not enough? You think it's too small? Therefore, you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord. I love that. He says, your argument is not, your threat is not against me. You have challenged God. And what is Aaron that you complain against him? So God is here. Moses lets out his frustration. God is acting as a parent, as a good father, wanting to develop mature understanding of their true identity as God's children. And this is true for you and me as royal members of his family. Korah demonstrates here extreme immaturity. Notice that Korah and the others rose up against Moses. Go back to verse 2. They rose up against Moses. Yet in verse 4, it says, and Moses fell on his face. He fell down. One lifts himself up, and the other humbles himself down before God. Now, God has given all of us, everybody in here, depending on the stage of life you're in, we're all given authority at some point. And so there are some that you have authority over within your family or your children or those you're mentoring or discipling or whatever. And surely there will come a time when those beneath you will challenge your authority. Who made you so smart? And why should you be able to do this or that in my life? Or it could be a teacher, it could be a boss, it could be a variety of different authority figures. I want you to note an example of Moses. Moses did not debate with Korah or try to change his mind because he knew their aim was really to steal the priesthood, which is something Moses already knew the Lord would not allow to happen. So he appealed to God. Okay, we're going to Dad. And boy, did God answer. Moses demonstrates maturity and true greatness. So here's what we can note from this. When your authority is challenged, don't defend yourself. If you defend yourself, God will let you. Say, okay, see how it goes. You can be arguing until the sun goes down and through the night. But if you don't defend yourself, when you are already operating in your God-given authority, you say, I'm not going to defend myself, then God steps in front of you and says, no, I'm going to defend you. How many would rather have God defend you than you do it yourself, right? So that's the lesson there. So let's say this. So the goal of parenting is maturity, and the goal of maturity is interdependence. I want you to look at that word and think about it. It is not another message that is close to it that is given often by the world. The goal of maturity is independence. No. Biblically, spiritually, this is a deeper message, a more divine message, and a more powerful message. The goal of maturity is interdependence. You are never to be completely alone in your decisions. You are not made that way. We are not designed that way. We have a creator that we are in relationship with. It's not like he just created us and go, okay, go off and live for eternity. He's in relationship. He's a dad. He loves his kids. He spoils them. He invests in them. He gives to them. He wants you to grow in your relationship with him. God has many children that ignore him much of their lives and live their lives and happily play with his toys and all of his wonderful creation, but they're not living in relationship with him. They've learned independence, but they've not yet learned interdependence. The goal for our children is to teach them interdependence. Why? So that it's all about relationship, and for life we can be in relationship, and for eternity we'll be in relationship with God.
Pastor Ray Bentley with insights on the value of interdependence in our relationship with the Lord. And there's more to come as this study continues here on Maranatha Radio. Now, you can hear today's message again on CD. It's a study called Does Prayer Really Influence God? And we can send it to you for just $7. Contact us and mention the title, Does Prayer Really Influence God? And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Numbers on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your latest book, The Holy Land Key. And I recently read a review, and it said, the book leaves you wanting more. This person spoke of how captivating it is to go behind the scenes in biblical prophecy. They said they were stunned.
You know, that was my personal experience. You know, after studying the Bible and knowing generally about prophecy for many years, God began to open up whole new layers of understanding of the past, of the biblical feasts, and of their relevance to the church today. And I was on fire, excited. I couldn't wait to write the book. And it's really exciting to see people reading it and seeing what I've seen, learning what I learned, and then getting on fire. And that's why I can't wait for people to read it and to learn these new things. I think it's going to really change their perspective and open their eyes in some ways they can't even imagine.
And this will reveal what we see reported in the news every day in a whole new light, won't it?
It will. I think that it puts an exclamation point on the things that we keep getting jolted by as we watch what's happening. These are the very signs and patterns that Jesus said are indications the kingdom is on its way.
All right. We'll find out more in Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key, available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127, or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in the book of Numbers. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.